$100,000 a year, or $250,000 a year, or $1 million a year, or whatever the number is. Now, what I do is a little bit different. Now, I have those yearly and monthly and weekly goals, but it's the daily income goal that I focus on. Let me give you an example. Let's say your income goal is $10,000 a month, which is a good goal for most people. Now, what most people do is reveal the income goal at the end of the month, see how close they came to hitting their target, make slight adjustments, and then keep going, right? Very logical. Now, a better way to do this is to divide your income goal by 30 days. In this case, let's say your DIG, your daily income goal, is approximately $334. So the first question when you get up in the morning should be, what am I doing today to make $350? Then ask yourself, out of all your big to-do lists and all of the corresponding tasks, which task is most likely to help you reach your DIG, daily income goal? Once you determine this, you will then be focusing only on your daily goal, not your monthly income goal. So ask yourself these questions. Are we making more money today? What is the most efficient use of my time right now? What's the payoff of this activity? What objectives do I want to accomplish? What must I do to accomplish these objectives? In what sequence should I complete them? What would Dan do in this situation? What would massive action look like? It's very simple. If you're not hitting your daily income goal, then you're not hitting your weekly income goal. If you're not hitting your weekly income goal, then you're definitely not hitting your monthly income goal. Does that make sense? It's stupid to wait till the end of the month to find out, oops, I'm off track. So instead, every day, the daily minimum is your focal point. That's your priority. Everything else is crap. It doesn't matter if you want to make $10,000 a day or $350 a day. Whatever the daily number, that's your focus. So always ask yourself first, what am I doing today to make my minimum for the day? Every single day, day in and day out. You got it? Now you might ask, but Dan, what if I miss a day? Well, the next day, then you have to do something that will make you twice as much. In this case, you have to make $700 to make it up. Now, what if you do better and go over your daily income goal? Say, for instance, you do $500 on that day. Well, congratulations. Give yourself a pat on the back for doing a good job. But don't slow down or relax. Keep going. You can be very busy and still be very unproductive. Returning phone calls, answering phone calls, emails and paperwork, social media, all kinds of stuff. None of those things help you generate money or make sales. You must do stuff that would put money in your pocket. Now, you might say, but Dan, all I've got is a job and I'm working for somebody else. I only get a paycheck once a month. I can't set a daily income goal. There's not a whole lot I can do to increase my daily income. You're right. There ain't much you can do. Your income is fixed. How much you earned is determined by your boss. You're not in control. You can't do things that would dramatically increase your income if all you have is a job. There's no room for creativity or growth. That's exactly why it's almost impossible to make your FU money working for somebody else. You better start a business on the side that will give you extra stream of income. Now, in the beginning, your daily income goal can be as simple as $100 a day. Then when you hit that, double it, and then double it again, and on and on. When I first got started, $100 was my daily target. Was happy to just make $100 a day, then 200, then 400, then 800, then 1600, and on and on and on. Keep counting and upgrading. Today, my daily income goal is $15,000. To Bill Gates, to Warren Buffett, there might not be a lot of money. Bill Gates probably wouldn't get a bed for that for 15 grand a day. But for Dan Locke, it's good. It's damn good. It's more than I ever need. Now, did this happen overnight? No, of course not. It took me time and tremendous effort to get to this point. Do I always hit my daily target? No, but most of the time that I do. So this simple DIG method has helped me over the years to become extremely productive. So now I have 15K in big numbers on the wall in my office. I get cranky if I don't hit that number every day. So now it's your turn. If you follow my lead, it won't be long before you make boatloads of money each and every day. The question is, how bad you want to do it. Chapter 18. What you can learn from Soup Nazi about dealing with clients and doing business on your own terms. If you ever watched Seinfeld, you'll remember the episode of the Soup Nazi. It's the famous episode where Jerry and George and Elaine go to this new soup stand that Kramer has been raving about. The owner of this joint is referred to as the Soup Nazi because of his attitude and his short temper. Plus, there was a certain amount of procedure you had to follow when you ordered the soup. Jerry explains the procedure for ordering the soup to George, and they go stand in line. When it comes to time to order the soup, George wants bread, and the Soup Nazi says, "You have to pay for it." When George gets upset and refuses to pay for it, that's when the Soup Nazi says his world-famous catchphrase, "No soup for you!" Now, what allows him to do that? There's a very important lesson here for all of us, and the lesson is this. Don't take shit from anybody. Have the attitude that nobody is allowed to take you down or insult you without your permission. Now, why could the Soup Nazi do that? Because he makes the best damn soup there is. He has no need to please anyone. No need to be popular or politically correct. Nope. Because he knows his soup is good. You either want it or you don't want it. You don't like the way he does business? Well, just pissed off. You're gone. And that's the way I've always operated my business. You can always make money. You can always get new clients, new businesses, and you can always start new businesses. Working with asshole clients is never worth the grief. It's just not worth it. Doing it this way allows you to focus more on creating a great product and spending your time and efforts and energies with people who actually like you. They like what you have to say. They like your products. They are raving fans that are willing to spend money with you. This is so important. Sometimes when I send a broadcast email to my list with an offer, I'll get some hate emails. These are people who are pissed off, saying things like, "Oh, you're just scamming me," or "You're spamming me. You're just trying to sell me stuff." These people are always immediately removed from my list. They're not going to be my customers anyway, so who gives a shit what they think? This is a business, not some charity drive. Sure, I'm here to help others, but I'm also here to make money. So if anyone on my list is not cool with that, they're history. I take them off the list, the hell with them. If you don't remove this negative crap, he has the power to take you off your game. It's funny as hell, but sometimes you can get 10, 20, 30, 50 really nice emails and good comments from people. People telling you how great your product is or how great your service is and how they have benefit from you or your work or your wisdom and how much they enjoy doing business with you. But one nasty email from some prick can make you temporarily forget all the good comments and ruin your whole day. That's why I don't see all my emails. I have my assistants filter them all, so I don't see any of the abusive or insulting stuff. I only see the legitimate ones that I want to know about. Other than that, I'm not interested. You can conduct business on your own terms. At this point, I can get rid of anyone in my life that I don't want, don't like, or don't want to deal with. I can fire clients at will, and I have. I have refunded a $20,000 check to a client and told him to fuck off. I can disqualify any prospects as I feel like it. I fired this client mainly because he was just a pain in the ass. Now, it wasn't always like this, though. When I was broke, there was a time when I had no choice but to take on these kind of clients from hell that I shouldn't have because I needed the money to put food on the table. More often than not, I found that the aggravation far exceeds the money in these cases. You may be able to relate to this. I learned this lesson the hard way. If you have clients you don't want to deal with at the moment, get rid of them. Nobody's going to show up at your door and point a gun at your head and say, "Hey, you have to take me on as a client." Nobody's ever going to do that. You can choose. You can disqualify them. You can get rid of them. Conventional wisdom says, treat everybody that comes through your door equally well. Fuck that. You've heard of the 80-20 rule, haven't you? It means that 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your clients, all customers are not created equal. Most of the time, the other 80% are dud clients. It doesn't make them bad people. It's just that they are not the right clients for you. They might be the perfect clients for somebody else, but for you, they're simply not a good fit. Dump them. Refer them to somebody else. Send them away. Dud clients cost you more money and energy long term. And chances are good that you only deal with them because you want their money. And when you do that, your integrity has gone out the window. You're actually doing these clients a disservice by keeping them. You owe it to them and yourself to refer them to somebody else who could and would do the best work with them. Why have clients, or anyone for that matter, in your life that frustrate you, bore you to tears, and drain the life out of you? Clients are replaceable. Money is replaceable. Time is not replaceable. The seconds you used up listening to this program, you see that? That are gone forever. You can't get them back. So doesn't it just make sense to place a high value on the most precious commodity that you possess, your time? I'm very selective about whom I do business with. I have a zero tolerance policy. If I dread the thought of having lunch with you, I'm not doing business with you. If you make me certain promises and you don't deliver, you're not doing business with me. If you're a negative or toxic person, I don't want you in my life. It's that simple. Let me give you an example. I offer a full-day coaching strategy session. I called it A Day with Dan, for which successful entrepreneurs fly in to see me from all over the world. We lock ourselves in a room from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And during this time, we will find the hidden opportunities and profits within the business. They can ask as many questions as they want and pick my brain. And basically for the day, I treat their business like mine. Consult with them or give them ideas on how to make a hell lot of money. By the end of the day, they'll walk away with step-by-step blueprint on how to take their business to the next level. Now, clients prepay me $20,000 a day for A Day with Dan. This is a business on my own terms. They come to me, I don't go to them. They fly to Vancouver to see me, and I'm paid $20,000 before I do the work, not after. Now, most people who have a job work the entire week, 2 weeks, a month, and then they get a paycheck. Heck, even most consultants work this way. They consult, then they send an invoice. A lot of times they have to chase the client to get the money. I don't do that. I'm a coach, I'm a mentor, I'm not a bill collector. I don't do that crap. I get pay before I do the work. And the funny thing is, I do A Day with Dan, typically once a month, maybe sometimes twice a month if I feel like it. And I have a 3 to 6 months waiting list. One time, a very successful Chinese businessman wanted to hire me for A Day with Dan. You know those Chinese takeout restaurants you see in the food court? You know where they serve spring rolls and fried rice and sweet and sour pork? Well, he owns 15 of those restaurants. Anyway, he told me, I'm busy. So he asked me to fly and see him. Come on, Dan, I will make it worth your while, he said. I said no. He tried again. Dan, tell you what, I will pay for the flight first class, and I'll put you in a nice 5-star hotel. You can come in for a day and take a look at my business. You can leave first thing in the morning the next day. And I repeated, nope, that's not the way I do business. How about this? I will pay you twice of what you normally charge. All you have to do is just come and see me. I said, you don't understand. You can't buy me. My policy is you come to me and I don't come to you. You seem like a nice guy and I do want to work with you, but if you're not comfortable with that policy, then I guess we're not doing business. And finally he said, fine, I'll come to you. In fact, he was more impressed that I stood my ground. Since he's a wealthy guy, he can pretty much buy anyone most of the time. And yet I said, no, I don't care how much you pay, I'm not coming to you. Ironically, one of the things he wanted to learn from me was how to do business on his own terms. And he turned out to be one of the best clients I've ever worked with. By the way, if you'd like to book a full day of coaching with me, simply go to my website, danlok.com, and let my assistant know that you want to book a day with me, as well as the details of your project and what you're looking for to get out of your day. Now, if you qualify, she'll get back to you with your choice of available days. Then once she receives your check, she'll send you an outline of what to expect for the day, which is 8 hours long. and details about hotels and confirmation. I can conduct business the way I want to conduct business. I can say no to any deals or projects or people that I don't want to deal with. I'm free to work with whom I want because I don't need anybody's money. And when you don't need money, it comes to you faster, easier, and quicker than you ever thought possible. It's an interesting oxymoron. Why does this happen? It's because you're not needy. When you need money, you are needy. You know those times when you really like a girl and you get all hyped up and psyched up and emotionally attached? In other words, you become needy. You become so emotionally attached to the outcome. And then when you approach her and ask her out and you get rejected, why? Because needy is creepy. If you were an attractive woman, would you want to date a wussy kind of needy man? I don't think so. Instead, when you're just being yourself, you're casual about it, and you don't take it too seriously, and then when you ask her out, what happens? Boom, you score. It's the same thing with money. When you don't need it, it comes to you faster and easier. FU money assignments. Question number one. If money were no object, how would you run your business? Question number two. What kind of clients would you want to work with? Question number three. What would your new business policies be if you changed them so you can get more money and more satisfaction? Chapter 19. The simple system that helps you master your time and take charge of your life. Your time, knowledge, and energy are your most valuable commodities. If you really think about it, it's all you have. Your time is your life. That's why I absolutely hate it when people waste my time. It's worse than stealing money from me. I can always make money, but I can never make more time. Customers are replaceable. Money is replaceable. The only thing you can't replace is time. The time you just spend listening to this program. It's gone. It can't be replaced or replenished. So it just seems so damn obvious to me that your top priority should be protecting the only asset you have that can be replaced. Unfortunately, most people give more thought to where they're going to go for lunch than how they're going to protect their time. Here's the question you need to ask yourself and answer every single day. How do I protect my time and energy so that I'm only spending it on those things that would take me closer to my FU money? Now you might ask, what's this all got to do with making money, Dan? Are you kidding me? Everything. How you use your time ultimately determines how much money you make. See, time management doesn't exist. You can't manage time. You can't make it go faster or slower. You can't make time move forward or backward. And you can't make up for lost time. What you can do is manage yourself and how you choose to use the time that you have. The richest people in the world have the same amount of time as the poorest people in the world. We all get 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week, and 52 weeks a year. No more, no less. So time management is really self-management. So the question is not, can you better manage your time? Because you can't. The real question is, what do you focus on now? Do the actions that you take on a daily basis move you forward in the direction you want your life to move? Or do your actions move you away from your priorities? The second thing you have to know is how much your time is actually worth. I call that your magic number. The reason you're not making the kind of money that you want and the reason you're not working the amount of hours you want is because you have not made it to a point to continually increase the worth of your time. Do you understand how important this is? To make the kind of money that you really want in your business, you must continually increase the worth of your time. All time has value. The way you think about time and the way you think about yourself will affect everything that happens to you inside and outside your business for the rest of your life. And guess what? If you don't value your time, nobody else will. And why should they? Especially if you don't even know how much your time is worth. I'm always shocked. at how many people don't have any idea what the value of their time is, or even how to increase the value of the time. So here are two critical questions for you. Number one, do you know what your time is worth? Number two, do you know what your time needs to be worth to achieve your FU money targets? If you don't know what your time is worth now or what it needs to be worth to achieve your goals, then you can't make effective decisions on what activities you should be spending your time doing and what activities you should have others do for you. You see, rich people value time and poor people value stuff. So let's take a minute and figure out what the value of your time needs to be to get to where you want to be. So here's my assignment for you, and it's very simple. First question, what is the amount of money that you would like to make this year? Write this down. In this case, let's use $1 million. Let's say your FU money target is to make $1 million a year. Now, if that's too much, then use $100,000. If it's too little, you can use $2 or $10 million. Doesn't really matter. But let's say $1 million. And let's say you work 8 hours a day, 220 days a year. That's 1,760 hours a year. Okay, now take the $1 million and divide that by 1,760 hours. Now it equals approximately $568. But that's not your magic number. To get your magic number, you need to take $568 and multiply it by 3 to allow for unproductive versus productive hours. That equals about $1,700. Now, what is your magic number? Now, why multiply by 3? Because I know you don't spend 8 hours a day working productively. Nobody does. Be honest with yourself. You're not productive all the time. I know I'm not. So to make $1 million a year, each of your hours has to be worth $1,700. That's your magic number. Now, why is the magic number important? Because you have to constantly ask yourself this question. Is what I'm doing right now worth $1,700 an hour? If the answer is no, it gets you to start thinking seriously about return on time invested. I call that ROTI. In other words, how are you investing your time and what's your return on that investment? This number helps you to quantify what the hell is going on in your life. Are you investing your hours well? Let's say you just spend an hour mowing your lawn. That just costs you $1,700. So why the hell would you do this if you can get a company to do it for $50 or $100? How are you going to make $1 million a year when you spend your time doing $20 an hour work? And you wonder why you don't make the kind of money you want to make. You must eliminate the need for you doing the activities that do not match up the value of your time. That's why I don't wash my cars. I don't go grocery shopping. I don't vacuum my carpet. I don't do bookkeeping. I don't do any of this crap that I can pay someone else $15 or $20 an hour to do. I'm only a master of 3 or 4 things in my life. And they're things that make me a lot of money. I don't even know how to change a light bulb. I'm not kidding. I don't know how to wash dishes. I don't know how to fix my toilets. I don't know how to do them. I don't give a shit. I wouldn't enjoy doing any of this stuff anyway, even if I didn't know how to do it. I know some people might think, well, oh, come on, Dan, you should wash your own car yourself. Do your taxes yourself. Do whatever yourself. Be a man. A little hard work never hurt anybody. Besides, it's good for you. It's an honorable thing to do. Fuck that. I do what I love doing and what I'm great at doing. There's no honor in doing things I'm not good at. What's the point? Do you think you have a greater chance of going to heaven if you spend your life doing things you don't like? I don't. There's no honor, there's no joy, there's no payoff in this life or any other life for that matter, for which doing what I'm not good at, to which that I don't like. So, people who think I should do this stuff can kiss my ass. Let me give you another example. I don't know how to cook, nor do I have the desire to learn. If I did cook, I would probably suck at it anyway, so I wouldn't even enjoy eating what I created. So why work so hard to create a shitty meal that I wouldn't even want to eat? Instead, I have a chef named Judy who designs highly nutritious meals just for me. She does all the shopping and brings the groceries needed to prepare the meal to my home. Once a week, she prepares my meals using the highest quality and freshest ingredients available. When she's done cooking, my dinners are packaged and stored in my refrigerator and freezer. Then she cleans it all up, and I don't have to lift a finger. When she's done, I have a week's worth of healthy, great-tasting dinners waiting for me. It's awesome! All I have to do is come home to a wonderful-smelling house, follow the heating instructions, and in 30 minutes or less, I have a delicious home-cooked meal. Now, think about this scenario for a second. Chef Judy loves to cook. I hate to cook. She's had years of training, and she's wonderful in the kitchen. She prepares food for me that are well-balanced and healthy, so I benefit from good nutrition without having to think too hard about it. I pay her to do what she's good at, what she enjoys doing, and because of it, I'm free to do what I am good at and what I love to do. Now, if more people thought this way, we would all be better off, wouldn't we? FU Money Assignments. Make a list of activities that you do on a daily basis. Evaluate each task you do. Can you delegate that task? Here are the simple steps. First, list tasks to be delegated. Then, who should accept the delegation? And also write down how many hours do you free up? And what is the value of those hours? And also the date you'll delegate a task, and also write down delegate a task complete. Check it off. Chapter 20. The amazingly simple technique that boosts your daily productivity. I don't work on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So basically, I have a long weekend almost every weekend. Most of the time I work 3 or 4 days a week, unless I have an important project going on, when I may choose to work Friday as well. Now, I work as little or as much as I want, because I don't work 7 days a week. I have to make sure that when I do work, I'm super productive. I structure the way I work in a very productive manner, such as not taking unscheduled incoming calls. A lot of people have the tendency to pick up the phone when it rings. It's like we've been trained like monkeys. Not me. I set my time schedule and make others work around me. I only do pre-scheduled phone appointments. And isn't it true that 90% of the time, the incoming calls aren't that important anyway? Isn't it true that 90% of the time, they aren't that urgent? In fact, here's what my voicemail says. You've reached the office of Dan Locke. I'm either on the phone or away from the office. Please leave your name, your phone number, and the purpose of your call. Please, don't expect me to call you back right away. I'll get back to you whenever I'm available. Thank you for calling. Well, Dan, aren't you difficult to work with? I wouldn't use the word difficult. I'm just different. Besides, it's more productive for both parties anyway. How? Because when you know when you schedule a call with me, I'm not doing anything else. I'm expecting your call. It eliminates phone tag. You know you have my undivided attention during that period of time. Bill Gates schedules his appointments in 6-minute increments. I have mine in 15-minute increments. I set aside blocks of time for everything that I do during the day, including checking emails, which I usually do after lunchtime. And once I do, I don't check my emails anymore and I work on something else. I know some people check the emails 10 times a day, especially they have an internet business. A lot of internet entrepreneurs screen suck all day. Whenever they have some extra time, they go to the computer, check the email, and once they're done, they'll surf around the internet a little bit. They'll check the auctions they're bidding on eBay, or they check on the Amazon, and then they'll log on to, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Once they're done, they'll start all over again. Back to email. Now, be honest here. Are you one of them? How the hell do you get anything done if you're constantly interrupted and distracted? I used to get about 400 emails a day, but now with my virtual assistant checking my emails, I may only get 20 or 25 emails a day. So I block out around half an hour to go through my emails, reply to them, log off, and forget about it. I check my orders in the morning once again in the afternoon because I want to know how much money I'm making. Remember my daily income goal? I don't use Instant Messenger or MSN or anything like that. I don't want to be interrupted whenever someone has a brain fart. Instant and quick access doesn't equal productivity. As an entrepreneur, do you sometimes feel overwhelmed and confused? You get up in the morning and you have this whole pile of shit that you gotta do. You don't know what to do first. Everybody talks about prioritizing, but how exactly are you supposed to do it? To me, there are only two kinds of activities in the business: profit-producing activities and non-profit-producing activities. Now, non-profit-producing activities include talking to your friends, surfing the internet, checking emails, answering your phone, checking web stats, organizing your office and bookkeeping, etc., etc. Activities that don't put cash in your pocket. Profit-producing activities include creating new products, marketing your products, improving your marketing process, managing money-making projects, raising capital, finding new ways to acquire customers, setting up joint venture deals, setting up strategic partnerships, creating systems, hiring good people to run your businesses, activities that put cash in your pocket. Now, out of all the tasks that you have to do, don't spend a lot of time doing the ones that don't make you money. Delegate and outsource them. They're not the most important task. People fail because of broken focus. Most business owners who struggle are busy with the day-to-day responsibilities of the business and only take action on what's getting their attention at the moment. They don't think or act strategically. Big mistake. Why do people get distracted so easily? Because they don't know what they want. They get sidetracked. When you're very clear about what you want, when you're focused, it's like taking the sunlight that's beaming down to the earth and having a microscope in your hand. You have the ability to redirect the sun's energy into something that's intensely hot. By focusing the energy, you essentially created a laser beam, which can easily create a raging fire. And that's the kind of focus you need to make your FU money. So what does being focused mean on a day-to-day basis? It means knowing your strengths, what you're good at, and possibly getting rid of other things altogether. People come to me all the time and say things like, "Dan, I run a small business. I'm doing some day trading. I'm doing some real estate. I'm thinking of starting another business. How come I'm still not making any real money?" And my answer is usually, "Because you're involved in too many businesses. That's why." Sound familiar? If that sounds like where you're now, try to pick the business that has the highest probability of making your FU money. Get rid of the others and see what happens. I think you'll be shocked by the result. FU money assignments. Make a list of activities that you do on a daily basis, business-related, work-related, and personal. List even the small tasks, such as mowing the lawn or photocopying. Next, identify the five activities from the list that generate the most income for you and your company. These are the activities on which you want to focus the most amount of time and energy on. Part 4. The FU Money Business. Chapter 21. The number one reason why people don't make their FU money. One of the biggest reasons people never make their FU money is that they get sucked into the latest money-making schemes, such as the latest real estate trend, or the latest MLM schemes, or the so-called opportunity of a lifetime. When I was broke, I was all over the map. I was the guy who would buy all these home business and opportunity magazines and respond to all the how to make money from home ads. I got into day trading and mail order and vending machines. I mean, you name it, I tried it. I was always looking for the next big thing, the next big idea, anything that would make me a quick buck. Bottom line is, I wanted to get rich quick without doing any work. And I never made the kind of money that I'm making now when I was jumping from one thing to another, not even close. It's like people who try to lose weight by buying all these gadgets, pills and programs and potions that are supposed to help them lose weight. The real formula is very simple. It's proper diet and exercise. Get off your lazy ass and move. And don't shuffle all that fatty food down your throat. It doesn't get any simpler. But people don't want simple. They want to buy the magic pills and machines and that will do all the work for them instead. They are just opportunity seekers, jumping from one thing to another. In fact, I know an entrepreneur who runs a very successful internet company offering weight loss solutions. The funny thing is that he sells about 15 different programs, all from different manufacturers. He knows that once he finds a person who would buy one weight loss pill, he or she will try just about anything else. The person who would try one thing for a few months and then switch to something else. Franchising has made a lot of people a lot of money, but mostly to people who sell them. Franchises have made a lot of other people either poor or the equivalent of slaves after they buy one. In any transaction, you're either a consumer or you're a promoter. When you're buying a franchise, you're a consumer. It's the person who sold you the franchise who made the money, because they were the promoter. And in the end, they win. And I'm not saying never buy a franchise. I'm saying just to be aware of where you stand in the deal. If you ever want to make your FU money, you have to be a promoter. You want to be the one that's collecting the cash, not the one that's giving it out. So what are some of the typical things that suck people into scams? Let me share with you a few things I've heard through the years. When you hear words like these from now on in the business world, hold on to your wallet. I am a good Christian. Truth is, good Christians don't need to tell you who they are. You will already know by their actions. If I may be perfectly honest, well, that means that the guy hasn't been honest from the beginning. It's the opportunity of a lifetime. This can't fail. You've got to get in now. Don't miss the boat. May God be my witness. Don't worry, your money's fine. I'll take care of everything, don't worry. The situation is temporary. This is the best thing you'll ever do. This would exceed your expectations. It's just a standard document, just sign here. Why do people fall for these things? It goes back to lack of education, lack of self-esteem, and greed. If you let these character flaws rule your business decisions, there are people in the business world who would feed on you. People would fuck you over. I should know, I've been fucked over many times in my business career. So it's okay to be a little cynical. Be aware, ask questions, and watch your wallet. Chapter 22. The Money Secret, shared by Bill Gates, Richard Branson, and Warren Buffett. Whenever you catch yourself looking to find some source outside yourself to create wealth with ease overnight, watch out. Now you might ask, but Dan, doesn't this contradict with what you said in the FU Money Myth number 6 about getting rich quick? No, don't take what I said out of context. I'm not saying you can't get rich quick. You definitely can. I'm saying not to look for someone else to make you rich quick. Nobody can make you rich. Only you can make yourself rich. When you hear the message, we do all the work, you don't have to lift a finger, and voila, you make a gazillion dollars. Beware. It's just like one of those illegal MLM scams that have been around forever, where one person talks you into it by telling you that, hey, if you get in soon enough and sign up enough other people quickly, you'll make a fortune. It's a groundbreaking opportunity. Hold on to your wallet and run. Gambling is a good example. Gamblers gamble because they hope to win a lot of money without doing any work. Now, if you're the casino owner, they're smart. If you're the gambler, not so smart. So I sincerely hope you will stop being an opportunity seeker or just a wannabe who only dreams of FU money but doesn't want to put in the effort to get there. To make your FU money, you must be part of the equation. You can't make money without work, without risk. No luck is involved. No hot new thing is required. What is required is work, smart work. Look at the most successful people on the planet. Bill Gates, Richard Branson, Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey. There was never a hot money-making scheme involved upfront. It was always the vision to create a business, deliver a lot of value to a lot of people, and solve a problem. That's what made them rich. So, who would you rather learn from? Oprah or some slick-talking get-rich-quick schemer? Think about it. So what's the difference between an opportunity seeker and a FU money millionaire? Well, an opportunity seeker sees an opportunity arise and grabs it. These are people looking to make lots of money from the hot opportunity of the moment. Their only criteria is, can I make quick money doing this? For instance, today's knocking down real estate, tomorrow is mail order, the next day is day trading, and yesterday was some other hot concepts that's already forgotten. Opportunity seekers buy lots of products and courses about how to get rich quick, yet they use only a few of them. And the ones they do use get abandoned when the next so-called easy way to make money comes by. Their only question is, what is the easiest way for me to make money right now? Opportunity seekers have no strategy, hopping from one approach to another. And while they may have some income goals, they have no vision of the business they would need to create in order to achieve them. And since they don't have a clear vision, they can't follow a detailed plan to accomplish it. So they end up with the hope that this is going to be it, that this is finally their chance to make it big. They are especially prone to fall victim to the business-in-a-box type products that promise huge rewards with little or no effort. The FU money millionaire, on the other hand, is a different animal altogether. These people have a clear vision of what they want their business to become. The biggest opportunity is always inside their business, not the hot product everyone else is talking about this week. The FU money millionaire has an end in mind, a vision. These people know what the business is going to look like when it's done. They develop different alternatives for its accomplishment and choose the approach they think is most probable. The FU money millionaire understands what his strengths and weaknesses are, so he builds a business based on his strengths. The FU money millionaire also understands that a business is a financial vehicle to get them from point A to point B. She isn't emotionally attached to any one particular business. These people are mostly concerned about how the business will serve them. They continually ask, does this move me closer to my FU money? Is this what I really want? They build their business around their lifestyle preferences and always ask the question, how's my business going to serve me? Opportunity seekers versus FU money millionaire? The choice is yours. Chapter 23. The 9 Characteristics of an Ideal Business. The U.S. government sends one of their agents to a Native American tribe to convince them to go to school and get jobs so the society will be better off. The agent figures out that he has to go top down and talk to the chief to get him on the program. If he can get the chief on board, then everyone else will follow. Chief, we'll get you into great college or trade school, he says. We'll pay for it. Pick you up in the morning, drop you off, pick you up after school, and drop you back here. We'll get your tutor, make sure you get good grades, graduate, and get a good education. Chief asks, well, why would I want to do that? Well, because then we can get you a good job, and then you can work for a good company. The chief asks, well, why would I want that? Well, because then we can drive you to work and pick you up, and if necessary, and give you a nice suit to wear, and you can start working at a job and make a salary. The chief asks, well, but why would I want that? Well, because then you get a good job and work for a good solid company for 40 years, and you get to retire. The chief asks again, but why would I want that? Well, because then when you retire, you can do whatever you want for the rest of your life. You can sleep if you want. You can hunt. You can fish. The chief says, but I'm doing that right now. You see, it's one thing to make money. It's another thing to make money and operate on your own terms. They are two very different things. If you ever intend to make your FU money, you must first put yourself in a position to do so. If you're going to spend your time doing something that has absolutely zero chance of making your FU money, what is the only outcome? You're not going to make it. Now, unfortunately, that's exactly what most people do when they get into business for themselves. Look at the kind of businesses they get into. They buy expensive franchises. They open a restaurant. They become a manufacturer. They open a retail store. They invest a lot of money, time, and effort, taking unnecessary risk and piling on grief so that they can go and make a little bit of money, swapping hours for dollars. Why? Because they think that's the way they're supposed to do it. They were not taught any different. Since they're in control, they think that's the path to FU money, when all they have really done is swapped one job for another, one crazy boss for another. It's stupid. You have to start with the right vehicle. You see, there are only three reasons to be in any business, in order of priority. Number one, cash now. You want to make money now, not in 3 years, not 5 years from now, and not hopefully when you cash out at some undetermined time in the future. Now. Number two, cash monthly. It's critical to have cash flow coming in on a consistent basis to pay your bills and live comfortably. Number three, cash in the future. If you can cash out and sell your business for a ton of money sometime in the future, that's fantastic. There are only three reasons to have a business, unlike what others want you to believe. The government believes the purpose of a business is to pay taxes. The unions believe the purpose of a business is to provide jobs to the community. And some entrepreneurs believe that the purpose of a business is to provide jobs for themselves. Bullshit! The purpose of a business is not to provide jobs or support your employees. And if you do, that's nice, but it's a side benefit. The purpose of a business is so that you can make your FU money. Very simple. If you help people make a living along the way, wonderful. But that's not the purpose. The purpose of the business is to support you, to make you rich. That's the only purpose. FU money assignments. Question number one. What's the most you can make at what you currently do? Question number two. How much do you need to invest to get started? Question number three. Could it be that your business is just another job where you happen to be the boss? Question number four. Does your business provide more income than you need to live comfortably and buy the things you want? Question number five. Is what you are currently doing worth all the time you're putting into it? Question number six. Does it have a prayer of making you FU money? Question number seven. If you can't work, will your income keep coming in? Very, very important. It's critical that you take a few minutes and answer these questions. And once you have, next, determine what your business will be. The true value of a human being is determined primarily by the measure and the sense in which he has attained liberation from the self. Albert Einstein. After several business failures at an early age, I made a decision that I would no longer do anything just to make money, which is how a lot of people operate. I made a decision to look at my vision and determine what I really wanted. I got down to the fundamental questions. What do I really want out of life? What do I want my business to look like? What do I want my life to look like 2, 3, 5, or 10 years from now? So I did something a little different. I locked myself in a room and took out a pen and a notepad, and I wrote down exactly what I wanted for my life. I wrote out every detail of what I wanted for my business, how I wanted my business to serve me, besides just providing me with money. It wasn't How can I make a quick buck doing this? It wasn't what the other people want from me. It wasn't an idea that someone else had sold me as what I really want. It is what does Dan Locke really want. I decided that I was going to figure out exactly what my perfect lifestyle looks like. And then I built my business around my lifestyle preferences. So that way I wouldn't get sucked into the latest money-making schemes, stuff that would get me sidetracked. Because I would now have clarity. Now, what follows are the 9 characteristics that you should look for when choosing your next business idea or opportunity. Characteristic number 1. Do what you love. What are you interested in? What are you passionate about? What subject or topic do you have a lot of knowledge about? What are people always coming to you for advice about? You should pick a business where you at least have some interest versus something you have absolutely no interest in. If you do something just for the sake of making money, that's okay, but it's short-sighted. Sure, you make some money, but honestly, life is too short. There's so many things to do to make money, so many opportunities in the world. Why not do something that you love? I love what I do, and I'm damn good at what I do. Any aspect of my work that I don't love, that I'm not good at, is done by others. By doing it this way, I've set up my business in such a way that I never get bored. That's one of the reasons why I keep working, even though I've made enough money now that I could stop working altogether. Every day I get up, I can't wait to get to work. Now, a lot of people who live boring lives are downright jealous of me because they wish they had something this exciting in their lives. There's a saying you've probably heard of. I love this so much that I would do it for free. I think that's moronic. Here's what I want you to say instead. I love this so much, it's the only thing that I would do for money. Characteristic number 2, stable, growing, long-term demand. Who told you that they want what you have to offer? What makes you think people would pay for it? The foundation of your business must include A, evidence that the marketplace wants to pay for what you're offering. B, evidence that they want to pay for that solution from you. C, strong evidence of the brilliance of your solution. Contrary to conventional wisdom, again, competition is good. It means there's money in the marketplace. Many people come to me and say, Dan, I've got this idea. Nobody's ever done this before. That's probably because nobody has made a fucking dime doing it. And I'm not saying you can't make a fortune with new ideas. Others have made very, very good money doing so. But remember, pioneers mostly just end up with arrows in their backs. That's why I personally prefer just to sell something people already buy. I don't have to convince them that they need my product. They already know that they need it. The question is just whom they're going to buy from. Then my job is only to convince them that I deliver more value than the competitors, and therefore it would be in their best interest to buy from me. Characteristic number 3, be portable. Imagine working from a beach or from your holiday home in Brazil. With technology today, that dream can easily become a reality. A portable business means you can operate your business from anywhere, home, office, beach, or anywhere you want to live or visit. You can be in business anywhere and have access to the internet anytime you want. You may prefer the beach or being poolside. Heck, one of my students even works off his boat on a lake. I personally like to work from the comfort of my own home. I hate to get stuck in traffic. It drives me nuts. I can't stand it. So when I get up in the morning, it's a 2-second commute to my office. I grab a cup of green tea. I don't drink coffee. And I just start working. I can be in my pajamas, underwear, shorts, and t-shirt, whatever. In fact, I'm home so much that my neighbor thinks I'm a drug dealer. Can you imagine how much time you would free up if you didn't have to commute to work? Characteristic number 4, high profit margin. There are a million ways to make $1 million. One of them is to sell low profit margin items to tons of people. The mindset known as feed the masses and you're dying with the classes. Well, I say the hell with the masses, or even more, the hell with the low profit margins. There are some businesses that have 5, 10, or 20% profit margins, and people still get into those businesses, and that's perfectly fine. But you know what the problem is with low profit margins? There's no margin for errors. That's suicidal. There will always be errors. If you set yourself up in a low profit margin business, you're asking for trouble. It's a one-way ticket to bankruptcy court. A friend of mine bought a dollar store so he could be his own boss. It's always been his dream to own a retail store. The profit margin of a typical dollar store is 10%. That means when he sells something for a buck, he gets to keep 10 cents. Later, the same friend told me, "You know, Dan, the two happiest moments of my life were the day I bought the dollar store and the day I sold it." See, succeeding in business is difficult enough. Why make it even harder on yourself by starting a low profit margin business? I like big profit margins. The bigger, the better. For me to even consider a business, the profit margin has to be at least 100% and up. So if I'm selling something for $200, I want to keep at least $100 for myself. Preferably it's 200%, 500%, or even more. Otherwise, I wouldn't get into that business. Characteristic number 5, scalability. A business must have the potential to grow fast by adding additional streams of income. I must be able to sell additional products and services to existing customers as opposed to being a one-time sell business. I simply will not get into a business if there isn't a potential for big back-end profits. And ideally, you can scale a business using systems, technology, and outside vendors versus just hiring more employees. This way, not only it is easier to grow fast, but you can scale back down if sales revenue drops for a period. Otherwise, you'll be like those corporations that, when sales are low, you have to fire a bunch of people to scale down. Characteristic number 6, low startup cost. You must be able to start a business with a few thousand dollars, not millions of dollars. If a business requires millions to get started, it means you have to go out there and raise capital. Not that raising capital is bad. It just means that to do so, you have to give away ownership and equity. Plus, it takes you much longer to recoup your investments. On the other hand, if you only spend $10,000 starting a business, you only have to make $10,000 in profits to get all your money back. After that, it's all gravy. Once your business grows to a certain point, you can bring in outside investors if you want. By that time, it's easier to raise capital and you don't have to give away as much equity because you now have a proven business model. Characteristic number 7, requires little or no staff. Have you heard the saying, you're only as strong as your weakest link? I'm here to tell you that that's a big, fat lie.